Detroit today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Nick Austin, filling in for Stephen Henderson. Remember the COVID health crisis? When the virus hit in the early months, there was a lot of fear as people were getting sick and dying at rates that were really scary. But not all Americans were impacted in the same way. Through March 2021, Black Americans died at 1.4 times the rate of white Americans. And right here in Michigan, in 2020, Black Michiganders died from COVID at double the rate compared to white Michiganders. But we know that it's not just COVID-19. Life expectancy for Black Americans is lower in comparison with their white, Hispanic, and Asian peers. Kat Stafford is a native Detroiter and national investigative reporter for the Associated Press. She recently helped produce a five-part series called From Birth to Death, which dives into disparities in health outcomes, and she shows that Black Americans disproportionately suffer from things like asthma, high blood pressure, and Alzheimer's. But why is this happening? What are the causes? How do these ailments show up in people's lives? And what are people doing to combat this trend? To talk about this, we have Kat Stafford here with us on Detroit Today. Kat, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you because this is a topic that I think a lot of us know about. And then a lot of us don't know so much about. It comes up very often, yet it still maintains its grip on our society. But why was it important for you to delve into the story of health disparities right now in the first place?
So as you noted at the top, I was a reporter that was very deeply entrenched in reporting on how COVID was impacting Black communities across the nation. And I wrote a story that focused specifically on Detroit, my hometown, and just how it was just taking this toll. We were losing elders, just people that have been pillars of our community for so long. And I got frustrated, though. I got frustrated with a lot of the coverage that I saw because I saw stories that would say, yeah, Black Americans are dying at a disparate rate. Oh, it's because of these comorbidities, meaning, you know, they had asthma, respiratory problems. They were more likely to have high blood pressure. All of these different factors were being blamed, but we were failing as a media to dig into the why or how did we get to that point. And so we created this project to really set out to answer that question, to show how for centuries, for decades in America, we have seen these health inequities that have impacted generations of Black Americans, literally from birth to death, and in many cases before we even take our first breath.
You know, Kat, also as a Detroiter, I do remember during COVID, especially at its peak, seeing all of these stories, and it's like you have two different groups impacting with it the same way, right? When you're living here, when you're having family members, people that you know personally are suffering, whereas other folks are saying, what are you talking about? I barely see it. Nothing's happening here. So, having that personal connection to it is important, but also bringing the good information, like you mentioned, to the way it's reported is very important to folks. So I want to give you an opportunity to let us know right now, what did you find were behind these causes? What was what you discovered in your reporting?
So we talked to five different families, five different folks, five different communities across the nation to dive into very specific issues and ailments that are common to Black adults as well as Black children. And what we find, the constant through line to all of this was discrimination. Black Americans are more likely to encounter a discrimination when they enter health systems, right? We also found patterns in a way to show how structural racism is really at the heart of all of these issues that we're talking about. And these aren't just personal anecdotes. We use data. We use decades of research. We talk to medical professionals, doctors themselves, who acknowledge that this is a serious issue that has yet to be rectified in our nation. So it was really us trying to set out to couple this with the personal story, showing how this actually impacts Americans, but also showing that there's facts, there's data to back up that structural racism has not just created poor economic outcomes and all these other things that we typically talk about, but also health. The very health that we have as Black Americans has been impacted because of our nation's inability to deal with structural racism.
Well, let's unpack that a little bit. So structural racism, one of the things that you are bringing up, right, that's going to play out in many ways, including just access to wealth, access to living, for example, where you live, all of those types of things. However, one of the things you note in your report that this impact is still seen regardless of wealth and social standing. So how are you able to separate that out? And what does it say if you're seeing these outcomes, these poor outcomes with Black Americans, regardless of wealth? What does that speak to?
So particularly that point was very important for us to make with the first story, which spoke to the high Black maternal and infant mortality rates that we see across the nation. Black women are almost three times as likely to die during childbirth when compared to white women. And when you look at Black babies, they're more likely to die and they're also more likely to be born prematurely. But the key point here is that this exists regardless of whether you are poor, regardless of whether you are middle class or wealthy. It doesn't matter what your social standing is. You are still far more likely to get sick and die as a Black American. And that has had disastrous impacts. We just had a study that was released a couple weeks ago that showed this loss of life, this higher mortality rate that Black Americans have experienced has cost our healthcare system billions of dollars, but just created this cumulative loss of millions of years of life. So it's just had a devastating impact. And I think it's so important to note that you could be wealthy and that still doesn't protect you from being on the receiving end of inequitable healthcare. And we've seen the headlines. Serena Williams herself almost died during childbirth because she wasn't listened to. So that is something that we are seeing advocates, folks on the ground that are really pushing to try and deal with this crisis.
We're speaking with Kat Stafford, not only a native Detroiter, but also an investigative reporter for the Associated Press. She recently produced a five-part series called From Birth to Death about American disparities in health outcomes. We want to include you out there listening in the conversation as well. What do you think causes these poor health outcomes that we see? And is this something that you've experienced in your life? Do you think racism plays a role in contributing to poorer health outcomes? How? And have you faced discrimination or indifference in a medical setting? What was the experience like for you? Give us a call, 313-577-1019. We can work you into the conversation that way, 313-577-1019. And speaking of those stories, Kat, a lot of your reporting was going to people, discussing their interactions with the healthcare system, their interactions with their ailments, and really bringing that forward so that people out there who maybe don't have a connection to some of these issues personally could learn more about it. Can you tell me a story that really resonated with you that kind of showed exactly what you're talking about and what you were looking into when doing this reporting?
So the last story, but first I want to say that every single story, every family that we talk to, just heartbreaking stories and experiences that they shared with us. But it's just an amazing feeling to have someone trust you to bear and share these experiences with the world. But the last story focuses on Alzheimer's and the way that Black Americans face that too, disparately. We went and spoke with a family, a young Black woman who is the caregiver for her mother, Jessica Guthrie. She's the caregiver. Her mother is Constance Guthrie. Just this beautiful story about how her mother always took care of her, always showed up for her, did everything that she could to make sure that she would have an excellent start at life. But then Alzheimer's hit. And all of that hard work that her mother did to make sure she was okay, now Jessica is taking care of her mother. And she just really told us about the challenges of being a Black caregiver, the racism that she has encountered just trying to make sure her mother receives proper care in the final years of her life, going to hospital systems and not being listened to. She told us this terrifying story about her mother was expressing a lot of pain in her leg, and the medical professionals, they said, oh, nothing's wrong with her, she's probably okay. Come to find out, she had a blood clot in her leg. So just hearing her experience just really kind of crystallized for me why it is important for journalists to tell these types of stories, but especially why I think it's important for newsrooms to amplify and have Black journalists who can really become one with the community, be rooted in this work, and tell these stories in a way that, frankly, we just have never seen before.
You know, it's really interesting if I'm hearing you with that. You're discussing that not only the way that the patient interacts with the healthcare system, but their caregiver, especially in the case of Alzheimer's, right? If your caregiver isn't getting the greatest access or information, that's going to have an impact on the person that they're caring for, which is something that I think we don't necessarily always think about in these conversations. But also what I'm hearing there in that story is about access to treatment. It's about, hey, do you actually have pain or not? So is this something where you would say, or in your reporting you found that if you look different, if you're per se not a Black American, someone takes your pain more seriously? Or is it the access to a specific medical facility? What is it that bears out the cause that you go into the doctor and you say, I'm in pain, and they say, oh, nope, and they don't diagnose a blood clot, if that's what I'm hearing from you?
Yeah, so that same discrimination, that same racism, that same bias that we really dive deeply to in the first story looking at maternal health, it connects all the way to the end of life when, you know, you are a Black caregiver and you're still trying to get that level of care that your loved one needs. We quoted a study, I believe, in a story that showed that Black caregivers are more likely to say that they face or encounter discrimination and racism. So these are real issues that folks are encountering. And Jessica, one of the things she told us was she has an Instagram account where she just encounters so many other Black caregivers who feel seen through her. And they all say, you know, if I was a white caregiver, would I be encountering these same issues? Would I have to go to the hospital armed with literally all of the paperwork that I have to prove that my loved one is dealing with these issues? Probably not. And when you look at the research, when you look at the studies that have been done, that's a truth. That's something that does bear out. So not only are you dealing with the stress, the traumatic stress of dealing with a loved one who is declining, you also have to deal with the stress of encountering someone who doesn't quite believe you, who might discriminate against you. So these are the things that we really wanted to amplify in this story in particular.
Talking to Kat Stafford here on 101.9 WDET. The phone number here is 313-577-1019. We're talking with her about her report From Birth to Death about American disparities in health outcomes. And we want to speak with you next. In fact, Kat, we're getting a lot of people calling in to share their stories. So when we return on Detroit Today, we will get into those stories. We'll hear from you and continue our conversation looking into disparate health outcomes faced by Americans here on 101.9 WDET in Detroit Today. Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Nick Austin, filling in for Stephen Henderson, having a conversation with you and Kat Stafford, a national investigative writer for the Associated Press, who recently produced a five-part series called From Birth to Death about American disparities in health outcomes, and perhaps even more importantly for us here, a native Detroiter out here doing this investigative work. But we want to talk to you as well. Big Neo on Twitter says, a big part of the problem is that medical professionals have a preconception that Black folks have a higher tolerance for pain. So when we tell them something isn't feeling right, they gaslight us by telling us it is in our heads and not taking us seriously. You know, I have seen this come up a lot, actually, Kat. And it's a point that I remember reading about, you know, in the 70s and 80s. But I still find it astonishing that in 2020, that could actually be factoring in to medical professionals that this class of people can tolerate pain better than that class of people. Is that something that you actually saw or found in your reporting?
Absolutely. In the first story, we noted that I believe there was a study as recent as 2016. So this is something that's pretty recent, not something that happened decades ago, that noted that there are still some healthcare providers that hold these this false outright beliefs that there are biological differences essentially between Black and white people, such as believing Black folks have less sensitive nerve endings, thicker skin, stronger bones. And these beliefs are things that have caused Black, you know, medical providers today to rate Black patients' pain lower and recommend less pain relief. So this is something that is still showing up in medical settings today. It's very disturbing.
That's astonishing. That is astonishing. I don't feel like that it could possibly be taught in a medical in a class, but whatever, man. That's wild. As we move right now to Robert in Detroit. Robert, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Good morning, Nick and Kat. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to share a funny experience I had in a medical setting. So my primary care physician had passed away. I've been with him since early childhood, and I have what's called athletic heart syndrome, which basically means my heart pumps really, really slowly. But otherwise, I'm indistinguishable from someone else. So like my resting heart rate is 30 beats a minute, right?
Yeah.
So I go to a new doctor. And he goes through his thing, and he's like, oh, my God, something's wrong. We need to admit you. I'm like, no, like, look at my record. I have athletic heart syndrome. He's like, no, we're going to admit you. Just, I'm like, okay, I'm not an expert. Maybe listen to the doctor, right? At this point, you know, I'm a consultant. I, you know, yeah, present very well. Like, everything is fine, but maybe he knows what he's talking about. So he's going through his questionnaire, and he's like, okay, you know, are you on aspirin, anything like that? I'm like, no. He's trying to figure out what I'm taking. And eventually he gets frustrated. He's like, just tell me what drugs you're on. Is it heroin? You're on heroin, right?
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
I was like, what? So I literally bust out laughing. I'm like, what about me says heroin right now?
Yeah. So that's wild.
He didn't believe it, but that's pretty much the end of my story. He ultimately had egg on his face because when he eventually looked at my chart, he sees that my heart rate has pretty much been the same since, you know, I've been going to the doctor. So that's my story. Thank you for your time.
I appreciate that, Robert, because that is something that I think that, again, for folks who haven't experienced it or know someone who has, they would think something like that couldn't possibly happen. But this is something, a type of story that comes up in your reporting often, Kat. What response do you have to Robert in Detroit in that situation?
Just hearing him took me back to sitting in Alabama in the living room of the two sisters who we profiled in that first story about Black mothers and Black babies. The younger sister, who had a traumatic birth, told us that one of the doctors, a doctor who had cared for her from the start of her pregnancy, when she went back into the hospital a few months postpartum, she had been dealing with these vomiting and fainting spells, and she had bruises on her arm. Bruises from being poked by so many needles throughout the course of her pregnancy. And she's a diabetic, so she bruises far easier than other folks. But he knew all of this, and yet he still questioned her why she had these bruises and asked if she smoked weed or if she took any other recreational drugs. And for her, that was just mind-blowing. It was frustrating. But again, this is something that's backed up by data. There's literally a study that just came out this year that shows that Black women are far more likely to be drug tested or questioned about drugs during the course of their pregnancy. So I'm not surprised to hear of his experience in this different realm of medicine.
We're going to go next to Justin in Sterling Heights. Justin, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So the beginning of the segment, it sounded like we were going to talk about, you know, kind of the conditions that African-Americans are suffering from, such as high blood pressure and such. And the conversation kind of veered into medical dereliction that was maybe discriminatorily based in race. And that all is important. But I guess my question is, why aren't we having a conversation about the food, the FDA, the types of food that maybe Black people have access to, the lack of nutrition that ends up getting them into a situation where they're in the medical system, which is rife with a lot of malpractice to begin with, regardless of race. I mean, the goal should be to keep them out of that system as a whole, and we should focus on food, nutrition, access to good quality food and things like that, right?
Well, Justin, I would certainly say that I would agree with you that, yes, we want to stay out of the system as much as possible. I think one of the reasons we moved into this portion is what's really astonishing to me is, of course, we understand where there's wealth disparities, where there's food deserts, where you have issues like that. That will have an effect on healthcare. But some of the issues that come up in this reporting are even when you separate out for wealth, you have the same two people in the same economic circumstances, maybe even with the same food, that you're still getting these disparate outcomes, which I just find astonishing. But it's not to say that issues focusing on food insecurity, wealth disparities are not important to this conversation. And that's something that also came up with you and your reporting. Is that correct, Kat?
Yeah, you know, I'm really glad this question came up because I would push back to say that even when you're talking about nutrition, food security, all of these things, racism is still an important aspect of that conversation. And what we show in that reporting is that if you look at some of the same communities that were redlined and segregated more than 60 years ago, those same communities today are the ones that are more likely to have medical care deserts, meaning they're less likely to have access to medical care. They're more likely to be neighborhoods that have higher access to fast food restaurants, but there's no Whole Foods. There's no healthy restaurants or places for them to patronize. So you have to look at all of this in its totality to really understand how structural racism is, again, at the heart of this. Because those communities that are inundated with the lack of access to healthy foods are the same ones that have the higher rates of obesity, the higher rates of high blood pressure. So you cannot talk about health disparities, health inequities anywhere in America without looking at how racism shows up at the center of that.
Justin, I really appreciate your call and your point. And I also remind everyone out there that when we have big issues like this, sometimes the solution is not always one size fits all. You got to look at the whole aspect of it, attack all of the issues before getting to the hospital, after getting to the hospital, or seeing a medical professional as well. Excellent point there, Justin in Sterling Heights, as we move to Alias in Southfield. Alias, I feel like that name might not be your real name, but go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Hi, thanks for having me. My question issue is there is a lawsuit that was filed in federal district court accusing Wayne State University and the medical school of retaliating against a couple people who raised the issue of implicit bias. The article was written up in the Free Press and the Wayne State student newspaper, but unfortunately my favorite WDET has ignored the story. So I'd like you to talk about that and the reason why people are, number one, retaliated against for raising implicit bias, and number two, why WDET hasn't covered the story.
All right. Thank you,
and I'll hold on. I'll stand by for your comment.
I appreciate it, and thank you. First of all, it says here that your name is Elise, so that's my bad. I misread that, Elise. Ignoring a story would be if you're saying that you've looked at it, considered it, or you're trying to willfully not look into it. But, of course, we always appreciate people coming on like you, bringing up stuff, shooting us an email, what have you. And, you know, maybe we can take a look at it and figure out if it's something we want to cover or not. But I'm not too familiar with it, so I can't tell you one way or another on that right now. But I bring that to you, Kat. Is this anything that you know about or has come up in your reporting, an issue with Wayne State and retaliatory practices potentially in the health, in the medical school?
No, I am not familiar with this case.
Very good.
I have not heard about it.
All right. Moving on, then, thank you there, Elise, for bringing that call. One of the things I was thinking of, Kat, when this conversation was happening, as you can give us a call right now, we have open lines, 313-577-1019, again, 313-577-1019, to share your stories with us about health outcomes, what you think might be behind it, why there are issues between Black Americans and their counterparts having disparate health incomes or outcomes, I should say. One of the things I thought about is this question of deferring to experts. And you know, Kat, I'm an attorney by trade, so sometimes people will walk into my office or have a question about something, and they might tell me what the law is, and I'll know that they're not necessarily correct there. So sometimes I'm like, hey, maybe you got to let experts expert some of the time. And that can cause some of these issues, right? Whereas where's the line between someone who has greater knowledge in a subject versus someone who's not taking care of my needs? This is something that I struggle with because I see it in all kinds of professional environments. How does that play out in what you saw in your reporting?
That's an important point. And that's why as a journalist, when I'm speaking to folks, when I'm doing panels, I ask people to question, who do you consider an expert? Yes, an expert is a medical professional, but I would argue that an individual is an expert on their life, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to have all of these perspectives in a story. You have to show the side of the person who has endured the harm, has endured the mistreatment. But I think it's also equally powerful to give a voice to folks who are actually on the ground seeing this firsthand. And throughout the series, we made a special effort to highlight specifically Black doctors, Black historians, Black advocates, Black experts, people who have a lived experience, but it's also coupled with the medical expertise that we were seeking out.
Yeah, that's very important also to have that consideration right. One might be an expert in the medicine. You are more of an expert on your body. And, you know, even as a professional, I've never really been upset when somebody asks me a question or wants some insight into things. But I will also say, in our healthcare industry right now, it seems like where there's such this push for efficiency that maybe not everybody always has the time. Again, depending on which medical facility you're at, people think, hey, we can spend less time with this person, or when do we cut off if they're asking a question over and over again? How do you separate someone who's one might think is wasting your time versus another? And a lot of that goes again to selection, like you mentioned, having access to different doctors, different medical professionals. Is access to different healthcare professionals, did that show up as something that was very important in your reporting in these outcomes? Or what did you see when it's like just being able to select your own doctor or your own medical facility?
So what showed up particularly, again, in that first story was a lack of access just to the care. So not only are we encountering discriminatory care when we are able to access care, in a lot of situations, we aren't able to get care at all. Mm. There are large swaths of the country where there are just literally medical deserts. Yeah. And another issue that exists is that there just aren't enough Black medical professionals in the country at all. But folks told me that that's not enough. At the end of the day, everyone should have the same level of cultural competency to make sure that they're providing equitable care to patients.
Yeah, that's something that would be very important to look into based on some of the stories I'm hearing now and that we read in your article. As again, we are speaking with Kat Stafford here on 101.9 WDET, native Detroiter and a national investigative reporter for the Associated Press, who recently produced a 5-part series called From Birth to Death about American disparities in health outcomes. We're also talking to you, and you can give us a call at 313-577-1019 to let us know what you think causes poor health outcomes, and let us know if you think racism is playing a role in contributing to poor health outcomes. Is discrimination or indifference something that you've experienced in the medical setting? And let us know your story, what that experience was like. You know, Kat, another thing that I was thinking about when I was hearing your stories, especially when it came to situations where folks might have been accusatory or felt accused about using drugs, using heroin came up in a story. I also think about, though, if I were to try to be as charitable as I possibly could to a medical professional, that the society we live in can be somewhat litigious. And you always do have concerns about if someone has narcotics that you're not expecting in your system, it can have an impact on health. Sometimes you have to ask these really sensitive questions in order to provide the best care. Maybe you could do it in a better way than being accusatory. How does concerns of liability, lawsuits, does that play anything into what you heard or saw in your reporting about these outcomes?
Yeah, you know, I think every hospital or medical system has the right to want to protect their interest, right? And I think that there is a need to ask these sort of sensitive questions, as you stated. But what's interesting about the story that I noted about the young Black woman who was asked if she was using drugs, it wasn't just that question that she was asked. It was also combined with other troubling things that were stated to her. Mm-hmm. She dealt with a nurse who questioned where her child's father was. Right. She dealt with someone who questioned, well, is he going to sign the birth certificate? So it's when you get those questions coupled with these other things that I think a lot of folks start to feel like this is that insidious form of racism, of bias that we often encounter as Black people.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. It's not just the one question, right? People think it might be the one-off. When you get a series, maybe eyebrows start raising. But as we talk about all of these issues right now, Kat, let's think of solutions. What are things that you have seen that people are doing out there to try to reverse these trends and make an impact so that we can have some better health outcomes for African Americans in America?
Well, in particular, from the federal level, we have seen in recent years, particularly looking at President Biden's administration, he has put a significant amount of money toward addressing the maternal health disparities we see, as well as the infant mortality issues. We have seen an expansion of Medicaid being offered in a lot of states. So we are seeing movement happening on the federal level in terms of sheer resources being pushed to states like Michigan and cities like Detroit. But we are also seeing people actually who are in these communities, whether that are, you know, midwives or just medical doctors themselves and hospital systems, who have started to implement a lot of diversity, equity, inclusion programs that are focused on teaching doctors, nurses, and other folks who interface directly with patients how to provide better care. So all of this is great. We're seeing a lot of momentum, particularly after coming out of the pandemic. You're seeing folks actually talking about this and how to address it. But again, a lot of people are still frustrated because they say it's not enough just to throw dollars. It's not enough just to start these flashy DEI programs. We need actual systemic and structural change that starts from the ground up that really works to deal with these disparities.
It's very important. If you're listening right now and there's someone who can make an impact, I challenge you to be part of that solution. Let's turn this into action and really make some improvement. And Kat Stafford, investigative reporter with the Associated Press, it was wonderful talking with you to raise this issue and get into some of this reporting. Appreciate it so much. Thanks for joining us on Detroit Today.
Thanks, Nick.
We'll continue our conversation about health when we return and talk with Dr. Phil Levy about his mobile health unit that has been treating Detroit residents. You're listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. We'll be right back.